warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, brother Shafaat Ahmad Khan. Jazakallahu khairan to our technicians, brother Junaid Khan and brother Riyaz Hussain. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Today is the 18th of Jumad al-Akhirah, 1444. With the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, today we focus on chapter 24, Surah An-Nur, and verse number 56 and verse number 57. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala informs us, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. You Muslims who are sane and mature, it is mandatory, compulsory upon you, the 5 daily prayers. And we should start teaching, training our children, as mentioned at the age in Tirmidhi Sharif, at the age of 7, Allimuhum inda sab'in, that at the age of 7, you must start teaching them, training them already. وَضْرِبُوهُمْ عَلَيْهَا إِنْدَ عَشَرٍ, and you must discipline them at the age of 10, even though it might not be compulsory upon them. So that is the emphasis on salat, on namaz, on prayer. Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's farewell advice to this ummah, you and me and all of us, that what must we do? As-salah, as-salah, wa ma malakat aymanukum. Guard your salat, and over whom you have authority, fulfill their rights, your wives, your children, your students, your employees. So whoever we have some jurisdiction, authority over them, so we must learn hukukullah, the rights of Almighty Allah, after iman, our faith, our conviction, then the most important action is salat. Hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, أَوَّلُ مَا يُحَاسَبُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ. The most important thing will be salat, and the first thing that Allah will question us on the day of justice is salat and namaz and prayer. So what does Almighty Allah say? Chapter 24, verses 56 and 57, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. Allah is addressing the true believers that you must establish the salat. It's not only you read salat, nay, you must ensure your spouse also reads the salat. You must ensure that also your children read salat, your students, your employees read salat. And we have to establish it, not just perform it, we have to make sure others are also reading it. So that is the meaning of waqimu. And salat, what does it mean? As-sila tu bayna al-abdi wa rabbi. It is the link, the connection, the nexus between slave, servant and Almighty Allah. We can never come near Almighty Allah's mercy without salat. Wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salah. Seek Allah's divine assistance via salat, via patience, and via salat. That means that what's fast also, with patience also, and prayer and salat also. So that is first commandment in this verse. Wa aqimu salata wa atu zakata, and pay your zakat. What is the meaning of zakat? Zakat has a twofold meaning. That zakat means purify. Today, me and you as human beings, we are, our hearts are saturated with the love of wealth. Remember that. And Quran has mentioned this. Innal insana li rabbihi lakanud. Beshak ye insan apne rab ke bohot hi na shukr hai. Chapter 100, verses 6, 7, and 8. Verily, this human being is very, very ungrateful, unthankful to his sustainer, nourisher, provider. وَإِنَّهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ لَشَهِيدٌ. And he bears testimony to that. The more and more we want to accumulate, whether through halal means or haram means, it doesn't matter nowadays. And you can see how rife and rampant it is in the ummah. Allah alone protect us. So what is the cause for this ingratitude, unthankfulness? وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ. Verily, this human being is madly, intensely in love with this wealth of his. So wa'atu zakat, give out and pay the zakat. The first and primary objective of it is what? Self-purification. The love for all Mighty Allah must be enhanced. The love for Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet of Islam, must be increased. The love for wealth, the love for the material things must decrease. That is the first meaning of zakat. Second meaning of zakat will be that numu, growth. The more zakat and compulsory charity, 2.5% the person pays, he has 100,000, he has to pay 2.5%, 2,500, and give that to the poor, poor Muslims who are poor and destitute. So why must he do that? So Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala gives us the reason. وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن زَكَاتٍ تُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُضْعِفُونَ. Chapter number 30, Surah Rum, and verse 39. Chapter 30, verse 39. And whatever zakat, compulsory charity you are paying and giving to the poor Muslims and destitute, تُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ, not for name and fame, but solely, only for the love and pleasure of Almighty Allah, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُضْعِفُونَ. So that will be multiplied many, many fold. You will receive a ni'm al-badal, a better replacement here in this world, and the year after it will be multiplied so many times beyond our perception and comprehension. وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ. Third injunction and commandment. And obey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People can criticize us, why your beard is so long, why you are doing this, why you doing that. We don't bother about people and criticism. Remember that our function as Muslims must be to please Almighty Allah Jalla wala, to please Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wallahu wa rasuluhu ahakku ayyurdu. And remember Almighty Allah Jalla wala and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You must please Allah Jalla wala and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In kanu mu'minin, if you have true iman. So iman ka taqaza ye hai. That is what iman is teaching us and Islam is teaching us. So we need to understand all these verses properly. And if you want reference of that, open Surah 9, chapter 9, Surah Tawbah, and verse number 62. And there in this, in chapter 9, verse 60, Almighty Allah mentions the 8 categories of people who are entitled to receive zakat, chapter 9, verse 60, and they must be Muslim. Voluntary charity you can give to non-Muslims also, there's no problem with that. Now, then we all want to be enveloped and encompassed in the mercy of Allah. So we have to do 3 actions. وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, establish the salat, the prayer, and namaz. وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ, pay the zakat, the compulsory charity, 2.5%. وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولِ, and obey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فِي الْخَلْوَى وَالْجَلْوَى, in privacy and in public, all times, all places, all circumstances. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرَحَمُونَ, so that mercy will be shown to you. You will be enveloped in the mercy of Almighty Allah. How we enter the masjid, what we say, Allah maftah li abwaaba rahmatik, Ya Allah, open thy doors of mercy for me. Then, in today's world, see how many people are plotting, planning, scheming against Islam, against Muslims, against humanity at large. The white hegemony, they say this continent of Africa is a liability. Remember, 8 billion people, if you hear them speak at the Economic World Forum, so they will tell you by 2023, Our target is we want to bring the world population to the half of what it is. Because these are just passengers running around and walking around. No asset as far as they concerned, Allah forbid. So that is their plotting and planning. Then they will tell you about COVID. They will tell you about Omicron. Then they will tell you this and this vaccine and so on. All this pandemic and scamdemic and so forth. So all this are their plotting, planning. So what Allah says, La tahsabanna alladhina kafaru, that those people who are the non-Muslims with their think tanks and they are plotting, planning, scheming. They must not think. Mu'jizina fil ard, they will escape the punishment of Allah on this earth. Allah will humiliate them, disgrace them, and you can see in this world. And now you will see when I read the news, the local, national, international, how Almighty Allah disgraces them. Them in different places, and there's nowhere for them to hide. That is the punishment in this world. And what will happen in the year after? وَمَأْوَاهُمُ النَّارِ, their resting place is Jahannam, the fire, the furnace, the inferno. وَلَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرِ. And how? You see, normally in the Quran you will find وَبِئْسَ, and how horrible, terrible. But here there's an added letter, وَلَبِئْسَ, and how indeed horrible, terrible it is. كَثْرَةُ الْحُرُوفِ تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ كَثْرَةِ الْمَعَانِي. You must understand the rhetoric, the beauty, the style, the diction of the noble Quran. And indeed and certainly how horrible, terrible the place is. مَسْبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرِ وَلَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرِ, the place they are returning to. And that is the hellfire. Allahumma ajirna min an-nar, O Almighty Allah Jalla Jalalahu, you protect us from Jahannam. And we beg of you, Ya Allah, today is Wednesday. After Zuhur, our du'as are accepted. The hadith Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, has mentioned in Al-Adabul Mufrad, even a person like Sheikh Albani, rahimahullah, has authenticated it and said that it is sahih and authentic. Therefore, don't kill time and waste time. Make special du'a on Wednesday after Zuhur and beg Almighty Allah for our needs and whatever the Ummah needs. Let us go through the news. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There's a priest, and he's a big shot. He just died in Australia. Priest George, or Cardinal George, or whatever you want to call him in the hierarchy of the Catholic Church, in 2018, he was found guilty, remember, of sexually assaulting youngsters. And then he had to go to jail, and he spent time in jail 1 year, and then it was overturned. Now he dies. So imagine what a blight and what an indictment that is on the Catholic Church. So yesterday I posed that question to the Pope. Pope, we are asking you, you're coming to Africa, Kinshasa. When are you going to answer all these questions? What is happening there in the clergy in different parts of the world? You teach the people celibacy, then you find the monk and the nun busy with monkey business. And then we find, you must remember, this Cardinal George or whatever his name is. So remember that he dies. So that is now the breaking news. And now you see the name and shame and the legacy goes on. So that is what you see in the world today. Always stand for justice and the truth. Number two, thousands of people questioned there in Brazil and in the capital, Brasilia. So we went to Brasilia. I must tell you a nice story about Brasilia. So many years ago, my wife and myself, we were there in Brasilia and we were delivering lectures, you know. So I was staying at a Radisson Hotel there in Brasilia, Ramadan time. Now, I don't know Portuguese. This is the only country in South America, Latin America, where they speak, you know, that Portuguese. Everywhere else, they speak Spanish. So the Maulana was there, Maulana Abdul Ghani, Ghani, my connection. MashaAllah, is here in Lens now. So doing sterling work there in South America. So I told him, Maulana, just make the arrangements for the suhoor and sehri. He said, no, everything is done, don't worry. So 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, they tapped my door and I opened it and they brought in the whole trolley and I just told them, gracias, gracias, one, two words we know, others we don't know what's happening. And lo and behold, when I opened it, I found 11 boiled eggs. So I'm just looking, and beside that, the jam and the cheese and the toasted bread and what have you and so forth. So when Molana came to pick me up for Fajr time, I asked him, Molana, what you told them? How many wives? I got 4 wives. Or do I have a soccer team here or what? They brought 11 boiled eggs. Can you believe that? Radisson Hotel, Brasilia. So whenever I look at that term, I think of that incident. We have some wonderful light moments in our life. So remember this, now many of them arrested, and now many of them will be prosecuted, so big problems there. You see, the apartheid terrorist Nazi regime of Israel, everything they do nowadays, you must remember, is against the law and against international law. One is in Ariel Sharon's time, the war criminal and the butcher of Beirut, they built the apartheid wall. Now, in the West Bank, in Zulkarnain, if you know, we've been to all these places with Allah's help, then now they're starting to build another wall. Can you believe that? You go in somebody's house, you steal their house, then you want to negotiate the outbuilding, and in the outbuilding also, you tell them, no, you can't stay here, you must stay there in that one room. That's exactly what the Juttas, the Haramis, the Nazis, Hitler's children are doing today there in the land of Palestine, occupied Palestine. These are all war crimes. You must remember that. Mozambique, big story. See, just the ayat we did now. La tahsabanna alladhina kafaru mu'jizina fil ard. The non-Muslims must not think that they will escape and weaken the power of Almighty Allah. No one can frustrate the plan of Almighty Allah. Now listen to the story. Mozambique, now they're always blaming the Islamic resistance, the Muslims. Now listen to the true story. Some soldiers in uniform are seen that they are burning the people who are dead. People died and they're burning them, and they say that the Muslims have done this. We got nothing to do with ISIS. We condemn them. We got nothing to do with Shabab and Boko Haram and whoever else. We condemn them 100 times already. But remember that these are the tactics they use. Now they caught on camera. Now they don't know what to do. In Israel, you read your Haaretz newspaper, 50% of the Jutlas and the Jews and Zionists say that for they must start speaking with the Palestinians. This cannot go on, and majority of the population of Israel are against the current coalition government. US, see, they all speak with a forked tongue. This is news for me and you, brother, sister in South Africa. That what they say, democracy, freedom of speech, freedom of association. And when we ask them, what about my brothers and my sisters there in Gitmo, and my sister Dr. Afia in the hellhole there in America? Now see what they're doing. US placing lot of pressure on South Africa. What is the Russian ship doing here in Cape Town? Why are you so close to Russia? Why are you not supporting us in the war against Russia and supporting Ukraine? South Africa say we're neutral. So what happened to democracy? What happened to human rights? What happened to freedom of movement, freedom of expression? All this is just cheap talk. Well done, this I must say. Well done to the government that you must not go in and fall for all this. We must be autonomous and make decisions with the best for our country. You are part of BRICS, so obviously, same stunt they're trying to pull with India as well. You know we have big problems with India and so forth. But what they are doing, the G7, the group of 7, they want India and pressurize India to accept the Russian oil price cap. That no, you can't do this, you must join us. So Modi and BJP, we know that they treat the Muslims as second, third class, fourth class citizens. But yeah, they're cutting deals that you can't believe. And the money exchange is in ruble and rupees, the RR. So imagine that they're pulling a good job, you know. And Pakistan has received tons and tons of wheat from Russia. Because remember, they can't feed their own people because of the floods and the havoc it caused and so forth. So that's a good thing Pakistan did. And thereafter, Saudi Arabia, the crown prince there, and he said they're going to give, or they gave already, Pakistan $10 billion. How much? $10 billion. So Pakistan, you must remember, this is an imported government, Choroki Hukumat here, you see. So you must remember that they're collecting a lot of money now from here and there. Where will it end up? Only Almighty Allah knows. You see, America, you're being lashed, you're being hammered, you're being punished by Almighty Allah. More rain coming to California. No electricity in many parts of California. Disaster zone for them. And Russia has already warned the US and NATO. You're already participating in this war against Russia, and it's a proxy war you are waging. But obviously, there will be plenty of many consequences in time to come. Can you believe what is happening in the rogue apartheid terrorist regime of Israel? The current government, some members are saying, the opposition, Lapid and Gantz and all of them, must be arrested because they are now mobilizing the masses to protest against the current government. And the current government says, when the protesters are Jutlas and Jews and Zionists, then use water cannons and batons and so forth. And if they are Palestinians, you shoot to kill. That is what Ben-Gvir said, the Harami, one of the biggest terrorists in the world, Minister of Security and Police and so forth. Let me bring you to South Africa and let's see what's really happening in South Africa. A big court case seems to be looming, remember, between CR and JZ. CR, the incumbent president, current president, and JZ, Jacob Zuma. Jacob Zuma is in the news all the time, almost. So it seems there's going to be a big court case coming up, if according to the media, unless they can find some common ground and so forth and so on. You must read Times, you know the Times, they got the newspaper daily. You must see how many ministers, how many bodyguards they have. Listen, go read that article. And they're using your money, my money, Muslim, non-Muslim money, taxpayers' money, and they don't have load shedding, they don't have water shedding, and on top of that, they have big, so many guards per minister. You go and work it out. And then your matric exam, that Mashaba is one of the politicians. He said that how can you have a 30% pass mark for matric and expect that the people who are the new, you know, the class of 22 to get a job and be employed with 30% pass mark. So therefore, I told you 100 times that in South Africa, your matric certificate is not worth the paper on which it's written. You must remember that. It's a self-delusional thing. You must remember that. You just fool yourself. And then take another dimension, and we have 2 ministers of education. How many countries in the world have 2 ministers of education? We are really, really a failed state and a banana republic. Allah Jalla Wala have mercy on us so we can eat more mangoes and leeches and bananas. Otherwise, Allah alone knows what is happening to this country. Another failed African state, and that is the reality. Wallahu A'lam, Allah alone knows. Today is Wednesday, so inshallah we have a private investigator, and he is Mr. Bollers. I hope I pronounce his name correctly, between 8:30 and 9. So remember that if I pronounce it wrong, forgive me, brother. So we're not used to these names, you know. But anyway, so he will be with Maulana Zaid Khan. That should be an interesting private investigator. And then inshallah 11 to 12 will be the bliss of Mary. And then 1 to 2 tafsir, commentary of the Noble Quran, and thereafter dua and more supplication and begging Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Over to you, my brother Shafat Ahmad Khan, that you fire up the questions.
Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Sahab. What dua can we make against oppression, and what dua do we make for bad governments to reform? Imtiaz Patel.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, my brother Imtiaz, do you know the meaning of your beautiful name, Imtiaz, Mumtaz? Sometimes our people keep the name Mumtaz for a girl. That's wrong, my brother, sister. Male Mumtaz and female Mumtaza. Always draw distinction between male and female. So Imtiaz, Allah will make you shine, glitter, and make you someone distinct. Remember, that's the meaning of it. Nevertheless, yes, dua alone don't work, my brother. Dua is one of the things we have to do. So write it down. Chapter 29, verse 30. Rabbin surni ala al-qawm al-mufsideen. O Almighty Allah, Jalla wa'ala, assist me, help me against the mischief makers and troublemakers. You can see how many people are plotting, planning against Islam and Muslims and the truth. And read Surah chapter 40, verse 44. وَأُفَوِّدُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. Verily, Ya Allah, my matters, I'm handing them over to you. Verily, Allah is all observing over the servants. In the next verse, فَوَقَاهُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِ مَا مَكَرُوا. Whoever is plotting, planning, scheming, Almighty Allah will protect that person. And how many a time you see, in Arabic, there's a proverb, Man hafara hufratan li akhi waqa'a fiha. When you dig a hole for your brother, then he, the person who was plotting against you, he falls inside. That is Allah's system. And read chapter 3, verse 173. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. Ya Allah, you are sufficient for us. Ya Allah, you are the best one to take care of our matters and affairs. And add with that the ending of chapter 22, verse 78. Fani'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. And Ya Allah, you are the best protector and the best helper. You see, my brother Imtiaz, today 90%, 80% of the Muslims live non-Muslims. They don't understand how a Muslim government works. In Islam, you don't have the government and the government must impose. First, you must have the individuals, the people. We have to bring Islam in our life. Who is preventing us from practicing Islam here in South Africa? How much Islam do we have in our houses? We complain the government is corrupt, the politicians are corrupt. I agree, 100%. But are we also not corrupt? But we ourselves trampling and throwing out the laws of Islam. And we say, no, we're living in a different age. We try and justify the vices and the wrong we do. So study the Seerah Mubarakah, the life history of the Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. From the age of 40, when the Master Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam received the first revelation, chapter 96, the first five verses, Surah Alaq, the revelation led to the biggest revolution, because truth will always be bitter. قُلِ الْحَقَّ وَلَوْ كَانَ مُرَّا. Speak the truth, even though the truth is bitter. Authentic hadith in Musnad Ahmad. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu arda. So that is what we must learn. So from the age Mubarak of 40 till 53, they were building their iman. They were making all the sacrifices, the beloved Sahaba, the companions, students of the Master, alayhi salam. When they passed that, then the government came in Makkah and Medina Munawwara. So that is what we must learn. You don't work from top downwards. You work from down upwards, because then you will have the true personnel. We got 57, 55 Muslim countries, meaning with majority Muslim. Show me one Muslim, one Islamic country, zero, nothing. Why? Because from the bottom that work has not been done. So we have to start and give and show people what is true Islam, what is honesty, what is integrity, and so forth and so on.
Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Sahab. We learn a lot from your Q&A sessions. I want to know, Mufti Sahab, in times of water shortages, what rights does the Ummah have over residents who have borehole water? Wassalam, Zakir Basa.
MashaAllah, my brother Zakir, Allah make you Zakir that you remember all Almighty Allah Jalla Wala more and more. Remember these three things which I'm telling you now. Number one is this. Whenever there's a shortage of water, chapter 71, Surah Nu, verses 10, 11, 12. Istaghfiru Rabbakum, innahu kana ghaffara. Seek the forgiveness of Allah. Read abundantly. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilayh. What is the difference between istighfar and tawbah? Istighfar, I seek the forgiveness and pardon of Almighty Allah. From the time we became mature till now, the vices, the sins we committed and perpetrated, Ya Allah, out of your benevolence, mercy and grace, forgive us, O Allah. We are sinners, we admit that. And tawbah, we don't have a relapse. We don't go back to those vices. So that is the sign that our repentance is accepted. So we should know that. Take Port Elizabeth. I have so many friends there, family there, so they send me messages. Some dams there are less than 10% full. So they obviously they will have restrictions and certain problems and then, you know, reduction and what have you. So all this will happen. So we must look within ourselves and beg Almighty Allah for forgiveness. Then Allah will send His mercy and rahmah. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا قَنَتُوا وَيَنْشُرُ رَحْمَتَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that supreme being. He sends His rain after the people have become disillusioned and they in despair. Allah scatters His mercy. This is Quran Sharif. The noble Quran speaks the direct speech of Almighty Allah. Next one, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, An-nasu yashtarikuna fi thalath. The people are partners in three things. One, al-ma. Of the three, one is water. You see the rivers, the dams, all that, the ocean. So it doesn't belong to anybody. So everybody can take benefit from them. Regarding boreholes, so remember, if it is private property, I did a maiden, you know, dug up a borehole and what have you. So this is an excellent time for you and me as Muslims to show our humanity. You know, when the problems happened in Durban and surroundings, the Muslims came to the fore, and how many non-Muslims embraced Islam or at least were impressed with the generosity of the Muslims. So open up your doors and tell them they take this water. I know some people that they have made special pipes and taps. You must remember the tap goes outside. Anybody can come there and just fill up their bucket and so forth. Wonderful gesture. That is Sadaqah Jariyah, recurring charity. And to give water, Sa'd radiallahu anhu, whose mother passed away, he came to the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Inna umma Sa'din qad tuwfiyat. My mother has passed away, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what should I do? He, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Al-ma, water. Fa hafarat bi'ran. He dug up a borehole, got it arranged, and he said, Hadihi li ummi Sa'd. This is dedicated to my beloved mother. Open Mishkat Sharif. My connections, my friends, and that, I can call them family also. So you must remember the Day brothers there, mashallah, they got truck, you know, the truck goes and give everybody water wherever it was required. So the Capital Group, how much, how many tankers and water they give. In Makkah, Medina, I saw them doing in Arafat and so forth. So that's a wonderful gesture, remember that. If you have the means, so do that, mashallah. Allah Jalla wa Ala will give you great, great reward in this world and in the year after.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahab. This question says, Mufti Sahab, if I rent out a big shop to a foreign national for 15,000 rands and he subdivides the shop and charges 25 rands in one shop, 10,000 each, I feel he's robbing me. I gave him the shops only to sell clothes. What should I do, Mufti Sahab? Jazakallah khair, South African businessman.
Remember, my brother, you have premises and then you let it out, rented it out to ABC person, Pakistani, Indian, Egyptian, whoever, or South African, that doesn't matter. So you must remember that from Islamic point of view, for him to go and sublet it to somebody else, remember the half shop he keeps and the second half he sublets it to, it's not permissible. whether it's mentioned in the lease or not, Islamically, for him to sublet is not permissible. Yes, if he told you from the start and you agreed and so forth, that is a different issue. So this whole subletting on their own, unilaterally they did so, Islamically is not permissible. So you have all the right to go there and tell him, bye, I gave you the shop, this whole square meterage, whatever it is, thousanders or 100 or 500, whatever it is. So it was for you, because I know you. Now you bring ABC, XYZ person. He is going to sell this. Sometimes they will sell haram things. They might sell wine and swine and whatever else and so forth. So remember that we need to understand the laws of ijara. Ijara means you're renting and you're letting and so forth and so on. In Islam, even a house, that you must remember, I have a big house, right? Double story and outbuilding and so forth and so on, and it belongs to me, for example, I rent it out. So that mota, the person I rent it out to, he decided unilaterally that, okay, I only need this portion, the rest I will sublet it. Now he gets other people and his outbuilding and downstairs or wherever. So it's not permissible in Islam that. So we must be very clear on this issue. So you, my brother, you must go to him and tell him what was our agreement. Even if it was not in writing, remember this, in Islam, even the verbal contract is binding. Chapter 5. Verse number 1, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, awfu bil uqud. Ey iman walo, O you who believe, 89 times Allah Jalla wala uses this phrase, fulfill your contracts, fulfill your obligations. So that is what Islam teaches us. People unilaterally just go commercial sites, residential sites, sublet, in Islam, not permissible that.
Mufti Saab, if my domestic helper sings church songs while cleaning our house, how must I address her, Mufti?
It shows that you, my brother, you are failing in your duty. You must teach her Islam. Ask her first and foremost. When you don't have to ask her as the male, you must train your wife, train your daughter, that see how many gods are there. And she might say three, Trinity, and one is three, and three is one. So ask her that, how can a God be born? How can a God be crucified? How can a God be buried in the tomb and so forth? But that's exactly what the Christians and the Pope and them believe in. They say Jesus was born on 25th December. We discussed this 100 times. In 1647, the Puritan Parliament of Britain, of England, banned Christmas celebrations and said that it is a pagan custom. Then they say, the Christian church, that Jesus was crucified, so he died for their sins. So where's the justice of Allah? It's giving you license to continue committing vices and sins. So how can God be crucified? Third one, then they say God is buried, you must remember, in the Holy Sepulchre and in Kanisatul Qiyamah, the holiest church in Christendom. But the Muslims are opening their church and closing it from 1187 till now. Go to CNN, they have a whole documentary on that. So you must remember, you need to stimulate their minds. You see how many priests, how many people embrace Islam, because they themselves, today's herd mentality, you must remember that, whatever people just hear and their parents taught them, so they just follow that. So Quran Karim teaches us, when the truth comes to them, they say no, that we will follow our forefathers. Why? Because that is what they taught us. So in Islam, that is not a valid reason. So you, as the Muslim, and you are the person who employed her as a domestic or whatever, you must teach them the truth. Sheikh Ahmad Didat, rahimahullah, mashallah, his literature is everywhere you will find in the world. So one day I was in a conference in Saudi, in Riyadh or wherever, so or Makkah, I can't remember also. So I told them, give me books. I just told them Kutub. They brought Ahmad Didat's books. I told them, buy. I am from South Africa. You come give me, you bringing coal to Newcastle or what? So give me the books I want. Then they brought all the big, big fatawa and kitabs and so forth. So the people started laughing also. So you must remember thus that we must give them. It's translated in Zulu. Our Mawla Qasim Sema Rahimahullah, Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus. And you can contact Mawla Ismail Aku there in Dalum, Newcastle, mashallah. I think 1-2 weeks time they also will be opening. So that you get and procure a copy of the Quran. If you must remember, she can only read Zulu and the translation. And we must become the ummah who is da'wat. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ. This is my function, that and my road and my way, I invite humanity towards Almighty Allah, ala basiratin, with firm conviction. أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي, I and those who follow me immaculately. Go and open chapter 12, Surah Yusuf, and right in the ending you will find it, and that is verse, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. Chapter 12, Surah Yusuf, verse number 108. So that is what we must do, brother. Faiz Shafat, I can't hear you.
I tell you, Mufti, the mute button was playing games with us. Kullu mafi there. This question says, I am a Catholic Christian. I respect Islam. We have so much in common. We need to unite and fight a common enemy, the satanic forces and his followers. Barry Muthusami, Mufti Saab.
Yes, my brother. Yes, don't worry. Sometimes the jinnats come. You see, brother Junaid is back here. Now Junaid comes here, our brother Junaid Mota, Junaid Khan. They call him Abu Yusuf also. So he comes 2 o'clock and he gives tabligh and all that, the da'wah to the jinnats. So I think one jinnat came your way and is playing with your buttons there and so forth. So anyway, my brother Barry, you see, it's all well and good that we speak of unity. But unity on what? You must remember this, that when you say Christianity believes in monotheism, are you really speaking the truth? So when you have Trinity, you see, my brother Barry, what you have to do is to do a proper, thorough study. Are you really practicing on Christianity? Their teachings of Jesus, peace be upon him, Nabi Isa alayhi salam, who taught the people, they were all Muslim. Every prophet messenger came to this earth was Muslim. No prophet messenger came here as a Jew, as a Christian. Chapter 3, verse 67, Ma kana Ibrahimu Yahudiyan wala Nasraniyan walakin kana Hanifan Muslima. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, Prophet Abraham, was not a Jew, was not a Christian, was not an idol worshipper. So what was he? Allah says, وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا. He was a Muslim and he turned away from all the false ideologies. So you see, that becomes problematic, my brother Barry. We can have catchy slogans and all this, you know, crazy slogans, unity, unity. So, but there can't be unity based on batil, with falsehood and so forth. So yes, we are Muslims and we will propagate the truth without fear and favor. But today the Christian people are murdering the Muslims, my brother. Who murdered our million people in Iraq and more? If it's not the Christians, Bush and Blair, the war criminals, and the Jewish lady, remember that, Madeleine Albright, she said it's worth it to murder and to kill 500,000 children in Iraq. Is this not a crime of Christendom? So the whole Pauline theory, St. Paul hijacked the whole of Christianity. Now your latest statistics, and you can go and Google all this. When the United Nations gave its report on the invasion, you must remember, of Afghanistan, then by the Bush, and then you had Obama, and then you had Trump, and all these things here. So now you got Biden, and then they pulled out 48 countries, putting their tails between their legs. So thousands of people killed and millions of people displaced in Afghanistan. Who were they targeting? 45% of the people killed in Afghanistan were children. These are the crimes of Christianity, my brother. How the Jutlas, the Zionists, the apartheid Nazi regime is committing crimes daily against the Palestinians, Muslim and Christian. So therefore, to speak of unity, I'm afraid we cannot unite with anybody who is on Batil, whether it is the Shias. You know, I've been to Iran, I've been to Iraq, and both places there, they have majority Shia population, and we have 100 books of theirs, which they gave me, best part. So we people who are naive and simple, they will say we must unite with the Shias. How can we unite with the Shias when they swearing, cursing Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, our honorable mother Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha? So that's example I'm giving you, that when we cannot unite with them, how are we going to unite with the Christians who are murdering our Muslims in different parts of the world? So therefore, Barry, we want to stimulate your mind and the world's mind. You have to answer this question. Do you really believe a God is born? Do you really believe a God is crucified? Do you really believe a God died and is buried in a tomb? So, but that's what Christianity is teaching you. So that is our function, our duty. We have the best and we want to share it with the rest. Last question, Brother Shafat.
Mufti Saab, I have a serious problem. I cannot get up for Fajr Salah, and it's very hard because it's so early. I want to know, Mufti Saab, what I need to do to make sure that I get up. I'm a very tired man also. Mufti?
You see, my brother, you're staying there in Durban. Let's say you have to go overseas. You have to go to Qatar or Dubai or India or Jeddah or wherever, London, New York, and your flight is 2 a.m. Be honest. Will you be there at the airport at midnight or not? Whether it's King Shaka, whether it's Tambo or wherever. 100% you will be ready. You will be there before time. Because if you miss your flight, they're not going to wait for you. You will have to forfeit so much money and so forth and so on. So that azmat, that great attachment you have, I have to be there on time. So the azmat and the attachment and the seriousness of the Fajr Salat is not in the heart of the Muslim today, majority. If you ask the Muslim how many of them read Fajr Salat yesterday, 70%, 80% don't perform. And they'll give you the same reason, that it's so early, 4 o'clock we have to be up, and 4:15, 4:30, 4:45, 5 o'clock is Salat here by us. So we must be clear on this year. Therefore, the hadith in Bukhari Sharif, the shaitan, Satan, Lucifer, he urinates in the ears of the people who don't perform Fajr Salat, the early morning Salat, before sunrise, half an hour, 1 hour. Then the Satan gets hold of them and urinates in their ears. I want to pose 3 questions to you, brother. You say you are tired. But why did you get tired? You're watching too many movies, and then you want to sleep 11, 12 o'clock, watching too many sports, who's scoring the goals and own goals and so forth. Or if it's weekend, then we're making gupshup. You must remember, gupshup is a Urdu term. We're just talking all nonsense and futile talk and futile speech. So when that greatness and azmat is not embedded in the inner recesses of our heart, then every day you will must fajr, my brother. And why do you feel tired? Quran speaks of this. Inna al-munafiqina yukhadi'una Allah wa huwa yukhadi'uhum. And then, wa idha qamu ila salati qamu kusala. When people wake up for salat, they wake up lazily. Why do they come? They just show their faces that we were there for Friday prayer and so forth. Almighty Allah states, the people who come lazily and read salat when they feel like and so forth, this is inna al-munafiqina yukhadi'una Allah wa huwa khadi'uhum. It starts there and it carries on. Chapter 4, Surah Nisa, and verse number 143. So you will find it there, my brother. You have to suppress your desires, and then we all read salat, and I'm now going for salat, my brother. May Almighty Allah Jalla wala make us those who are up to date with our salat. Ameen. Barakallahu feek. Salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.